Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line, in Los Angeles, is the cougar town to my friends. Keith Caulfield, how's it going, Keith?
I'm good. Well, I get the second-rate Courtney Cox show, and you get the huge, long-running global hit smash success.
Hey man, Friends. Cougar Town is still on the air. It's still on TV.
I guess I shouldn't say second rate. I'm sure it's a very high quality show. Yes, I'm sorry.
It's full of laughs. They know comedy over at TBS.
You like
there's
Cougar
no shame
Town.
In being
anyway.
Cougar Town.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, man, this is a big episode for us. We have a lot to talk about. As we always do, we're going to be talking about 2015's most anticipated albums, its most promising newcomers, our personal wishes for 2015, but we are joined right now by a huge guest. His name is Tyler Oakley. How's it going, Tyler?
Hi. Can I be the Joey to your Cougar Town? Isn't that
absolutely? You can be.
Isn't that his
you can
spinoff?
Be the, you can be the Scream 2 to.
Oh my God, that's so
TV
rude. I'd rather be Scream 4.
Hey, Scream
Gail Weathers
okay.
is my favorite.
Scream 4? Of
okay.
all the Scream movies, you go
Scream
with Scream 4.
Scream 4 is iconic.
Okay.
I could watch that over and over. Honestly, it's so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's being serious.
I
all
am
right.
100% serious.
Okay.
So, Tyler, thank you so much for joining the Pop Shop Podcast. We are thrilled to have you on. So, can you do me a favor? Like, you are a huge internet sensation. You have been on tour. Can you, like, give, like, the 30-second bio to those who, you know, like, my parents listen to this podcast. They're not up on the YouTube life. Can you give a little bio about
they're not,
a little
they're not
background
down with
about
the
who
YouTube
you are?
Life.
That's fine. No, a lot of people don't get it, but my name is Tyler Oakley. I'm from Michigan. I talk about my life into the camera. I post it on YouTube. It's kind of been a diary for me, and I've done it for over 7 years. I also have a podcast where me and my best friend Corey Cool, we talk about pop culture, gossip, and we tell stories that aren't on camera. And then from there, we've gone on tour to meet people that are viewers or listeners. And it's kind of become my full-time career, being an internet or online or media entertainer in some capacity. A lot of people don't get it. They don't have to. But the people who do get it are the ones that matter.
Jason, I just want to say, I stumbled onto Tyler almost 5 years ago. I
really?
Think. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure because I checked the video that I found you in for the first time, and it has a 2010 date on it.
Oh God, I can only imagine what video that could be.
I showed it to Jason yesterday because I don't think he had actually seen it yet, but it was you lip-syncing Nicki
Minaj.
No,
I knew it was going to be that.
That was hilarious. I'm like, I had not seen that video before yesterday, and that... That killed me.
It's
it
classic.
Absolutely killed me.
It's so good. Like World of Wonder. Like it's a blog and a production company.
Yeah.
They blogged about it.
Yep.
And I was like, this. Like I watched it and watched it again. I'm like, man, that shoulder action at the end is so good.
Well, over the course of my YouTube life, I've never had like one big hit. Like sometimes, like in interviews, they'll be like, "What was the one thing that changed it all?" I've never had that, but every year there's been something. In 2010, there was that. And I put that up on Facebook actually, and I was like, just like for fun. And the response was huge, and people were sharing it. And I was like, oh, maybe I should post that to YouTube too. Mm. And then I posted it to YouTube, and it just like. In my world, it went viral for me. Obviously, it was nowhere near like Rebecca Black Friday, but it
which that could be good in a way.
I like how that's the reference.
You've had a 2010 reference.
You've had a gradual rise to sort of internet superstardom.
I appreciate that. I've never had one huge hit because over the course of my really long time on YouTube, I've really gotten used to it slowly and adjusted to it as each thing happened, as opposed to one big hit having to adjust immediately to you know, the change of life and then try to kind
the
of
change
figure
of
it
life?
Out. Yeah, I mean, for Rebecca
You're
Black, it was a
change.
Change of life.
Change.
Yeah, changes all around.
Oh, I also watched yesterday for the first time, I watched Tyler reacting to his own birth.
Welcome.
Wow. That was...
It's how I celebrated turning 25.
Your mom had a zombie baby. That's adorable.
I was a hideous child. And now I am a mediocre adult, so I'll take it. It's fine.
And Jason, the last thing I'll say, because people don't quite understand, I think this is probably, well, I can say it's probably the first guest that we've had that has not only been invited to the White House to speak on sort of issues that affect youth, mm-hmm. correct? That was last year.
Yeah.
And then you later interviewed First Lady Michelle Obama on camera.
Which was fun.
And like did like a questions out of a hat thing.
She was the best.
I'm like, so cool. It's so cool what you've accomplished
in 7 years. It's really, I'm really fortunate and it's really fun. And a lot of, you know, people believe in me and let me do fun, weird things that could never exist on TV or anywhere, you know, else in media. So I get to play and it's not a bad gig. So, yeah, I appreciate it. And yeah, and this is fun. So thank you for having me on this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, for those listening who haven't checked out all of Tyler's YouTube videos as well as his podcast, check those out immediately as well as everything he's done
in terms of
youth outreach and advocacy. And yeah, man, I mean, listen, we're pumped to have you on because you know a ton about pop culture as well. I mean, it's funny, yesterday, like, your opinions of pop culture make news. Like, you commented on Michael Clifford's hair color, and I saw a blog post that were like, Tyler Oakley sounds off on 5 Seconds
Really?
Of Fame. Michael Clifford's hair color.
That is not
true, like,
is it?
Oh my God.
Is that true, Jason?
No, it's 100% true.
Are you lying?
Was it your own blog?
It was. No, it was. I saw multiple blogs and like Tyler Oakley dishes about Michael Clifford's hair.
See, that could be dangerous, though. Like, you have such influence. You have so many millions of followers and YouTube subscribers. Like, you say one thing and that can sort of come back to haunt you or be very, you know, because your influence is so big.
Right. Well, I would say it's an opportunity for whoever has a platform to use it for good or use it for bad. And I nowadays, before I kind of ignored it and I kind of swept it under the rug and was like, I never signed up for this. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. But now I'm kind of more conscious and I'm aware of an impact that can be had. So I try to use it for good. But I also still, I'm here to have fun.
He's a ray of light and just a shiny,
God bless,
beacon of hope for all of us.
Shut up.
How was your tour, man?
Tour was incredible. We did 9 cities. One of the legs was 7 cities in 7 days, which was insane.
Oh. One show each day? Or like
one show every day in a different state. And everyone comes in onesies. It's slumber party themed. So everyone comes in their pajamas. We recreate the background of my videos, which is my living room on the stage. And it's kind of like a Pee-wee's Playhouse meets the Ellen DeGeneres show meets games and fun and bringing people backstage. And wow. It's like one live hangout sesh video. So it's fun.
Is it different each day? Is it kind of unscripted or is there kind of like a loose format?
There's a skeleton to it where it's like I know where I need to be along the hour and a half of the show. But I like to let it just live its own life and have each individual show be influenced by the audience. And so there's a lot of audience participation. There's a lot of audience guidance to what stories I tell or what questions I answer or whatever it can be. It's specific to each city. So yeah.
Are there more shows that you're hoping to do later this year?
Is
the tour going to continue maybe?
The tour is definitely going to continue. I only was able to do kind of Midwest, Northeast area of the U.S., but I want to take it all over the U.S. and international. So this year is going to be the year.
Tyler goes international.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw your video of the 100 things you did in 2014, and it made me very jealous, first of all.
Thank you.
Second of all, it made me wonder, aside from more tour dates, which I assumed were coming, what else do you hope to accomplish in 2015 just personally?
Well, I always try to have like realistic goals. So world domination is obviously number one, first and foremost.
Of course.
I don't know. I mean,
your own hair care line?
Who knows? Right. I can't comment on that.
His hair is blonde. Ooh, you can't comment. That means it's happening.
I'm kidding.
L'Oreal's new brand spokesperson, Tyler Oakley.
Spread it.
His hair is blonde today, by the way. It's not any special color. It's blonde.
Yeah, I'm feeling blonde this year.
Is that your natural color?
No. My natural color is like a dirty blonde. I mean, this is kind of like a more fluorescent beige.
You would never know. I thought that would have been your natural hair color.
Thank you. No, I just wanted it to look natural for a while. Because for like having done, I fell into doing my hair a different color 2 years ago just because I was like, oh, let's do it as a video. Let's like bleach my hair and go like Lilac. And then I loved it. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to do this for a while. And then I ended up doing it for 2 years. And I'm like, what is my natural hair color like? And also my hair is like dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a while, I want to be a normal human.
I used to, back when I had hair, mm-hmm. I used to go through, well, it's, maybe you'll have nice hair forever, Jason, but I don't.
Your hair is beautiful.
Thanks.
Your head is beautiful.
This is why people like him so much, because he's just radiating positivity.
Mm-hmm.
radiating positivity. But I know, because to get a good color, you have to like go to white mm-hmm. first, essentially, and then you put the color on top of that. And then, you know, the color fades and you have to put it back on. And like, and this maybe.
I used to do it myself, but now I go do it professionally because I'm like, I need to take care of my hair.
And you can afford it now. So, you know.
God bless.
Yes. You can afford real hair. Kyle, what's his name?
Yeah, I go to Kyle Krieger.
And it doesn't everyone.
I know. Yeah. Literally everyone.
Sorry, Jason.
Everyone but hey. Jason.
No worries. I was thinking about going like, you know, hot pink, little red. This year, you know.
You have to be careful, though, because if you ever, like, if you have the complexion of somebody who blushes often, which I do, your whole head just looks pink at that point.
I found that red looked the best on me because I'm so pale and pinkish to begin with that the red made it look like I was probably like a natural ginger and I just enhanced the red. But it was like a not real red. It was like, you know, purpley, red, violet.
Got it.
Anyway, sorry. It has nothing to do with music.
Groundbreaking.
That's good. That's great.
Listen. Keith, I can't picture you with like a full head of hair. I'm sorry about that, man. I'm like, I'm
picturing
like
a picture today.
I'll show Tyler.
So you won't tweet out a picture.
No, I'm not big on tweeting out pictures of me. You know,
you keep it professional on Twitter.
I have a cocktail in front of my face on my Twitter like avatar.
The tweets themselves.
Very behind the scenes.
Very yeah, but I'll show anyway. You guys a picture of me 12 years ago when I had lots of red hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like a red afro. I don't know why that is, but I can't picture like I don't know.
Oh, dude,
like a clown's afro?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's talk about music.
Let's move on. All right, so let's talk about this is a music podcast. This is a pop music podcast. So let's talk about 2015's most anticipated albums.
Tyler's new single.
A lot to talk about.
Kidding.
I mean, YouTubers are doing it.
Why not Jack and Jack? He's the Vine people.
Oh my God, Jack.
Troye Sivan.
Bethany Mota released some music. Ricky Dillon releases music. A lot of internet people are releasing music.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see that from me. I'm staying in my own lane, at least for 2015.
Well, someday, man. 2016
is the year of my alternative dark pop album. Get ready.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm literally kidding. I'm kidding.
So, speaking of alternative dark pop, let's talk about Rihanna, because...
Good segue.
Is that the segue? Okay,
the segue.
Sure.
She has not released an album for 2 years, and is, like... It seems like this album is finally going to come out this year. So many people have been working on it. DJ Mustard has been working on it. The Dream, I know, has worked on it. Maybe Sia, maybe a couple other people. I mean, what do you guys think? What do you guys hope to see from a new Rihanna album in 2015?
Well, what do I hope from it?
I hope that she just has fun and she just puts out an album. I have literally no... Like, I don't think she can do wrong.
She's still in her imperial period, as we would say.
Is that
That's
a
real thing. It's like a thing where, like, an artist is at the peak of their powers, and basically everything they put out is going to become a hit. So, like, Madonna between, like, 85 and 90, you know, Janet Jackson between 86
and 93.
When Gaga
put out Born This Way.
Yeah, more, like,
people were ready
to Born This Way.
Yeah.
From, like, you know, Bad Romance, like, you know, Just Dance.
Does anybody ever get another?
Because Tyler's a big Gaga fan.
I would take a bullet for Gaga.
Wow. That's heavy.
I mean, listen.
That's heavy.
No, but do people get a second imperial period?
Hey, I wrote pretty hard for Art Pop.
Born This Way was so good. Art Pop was so good.
He's making a weird face.
Cheek to cheek. Slay me. When will your fave?
Do you actually like the Cheek to Cheek album?
It got me in the mood for Christmas music, and that's all I needed it for.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's the best review of Cheek to Cheek I've heard thus far. It got me in the mood for Christmas music.
Well, because it came out right before we were allowed to start listening to Christmas music, but Christmas music is just jazz music, so it was like the good like transition before, like when you want to listen to it, but it's like socially not okay to listen to Christmas music yet.
Truthfully, I think it was a nice way to remind casual listeners and sort of the general pop crowd of the power of her voice.
Oh yeah,
and how like and pure and simple, you know, it could be without all the trappings of all the craziness and the stuff around art pop and visuals and imagery that kind of distracts you from just the pure pop goodness of her voice and her performance.
She can do no wrong.
It does.
Is what you're saying, which I agree.
It does seem like in terms of 2015, it seems like the two artists that I'm really interested in this year in terms of success versus like moderate, you know, finding a hit but not reaching that superstar plateau again are Gaga and Bieber. I feel like they this year, both of those artists, like, you know, no offense, Tyler, I know you're a huge Gaga fan. Like, I feel like she needs like another powerhouse smash to really
She needs to go back to her fame monster, like just delivering actual good music and then following up with, you know, the imagery after she's already done the incredible music that's gonna like live and do well. But I want something from Rihanna. I don't know about Justin Bieber. I mean, I feel like about his shenanigans.
Yeah. There's too much stuff to like distract.
And it's one of those Azalea Banks things, which I think she's so talented, but I think if more of the headlines are about your social media shenanigans or your problems in real life, peeing in buckets, whatever it is, then people are going to look at that instead of the music.
Yeah.
And people won't care if you're talented. I don't think.
And that's the thing is we talked about this actually on last week's podcast, how Justin Bieber just has to spend the year not being a bonehead and putting out, like, even if he doesn't have like a hit record, just being able to steer clear of trouble is the most important thing he can do this year.
So, I want that for him.
But I'm also hoping that, you know, I'm a fan of his last album. Let's hope he's not a bonehead this year, I guess. We shall see.
Fingers crossed. He's only 20, and that's what I have to keep reminding myself. You know, I was 20 when I was online, and a lot of my shenanigans were online, and I wasn't peeing in buckets, but
You're making Nicki Minaj lip sync.
So, right. At that point, yeah. I was, yeah. But, like, I think he's got a lot of growing up to do, and I think the hard part is when millions and millions and millions of people are watching, it's hard to admit mistakes and it's hard to grow up, especially when you're surrounded by people that allow you to make those mistakes.
Well, there's a huge, Tyler, you're 25 now, right?
I am. How dare you?
You're younger than both of us. No, there's no shame in that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say
breaking news, Tyler, you're younger than
breaking
me.
Breaking news.
I didn't know that. I don't know.
I don't know. But
this is why people love Tyler so much, because he's like, I didn't know. I'm like, dude, come on.
Honestly, I had no clue, because you don't show Keith any part of your life online.
Keith is actually, like, I forgot that Keith is actually
when he met
17.
Me, he was surprised. Like, look, it's the Crypt Keeper with, like, a walker. It's amazing. How did you, were you able to get
to
the door?
You're an idiot. Shut up.
So, sorry, Jason, you were saying.
I was just saying that you're actually 17 years old, so... That's cool. You've been at Billboard since you were about two.
I've been at Billboard since I was born.
You're
basically
the Doogie Howser of Billboard.
Oh man, if I age as well as Neil Patrick Harris.
Same.
Well, what I was gonna say is that, Tyler, you're 25, and I feel like looking back on, like you said, you were just starting when you were 20. There's such a huge difference between 20 and 25 that you wonder, you know, what kind of level of maturity Bieber's gonna have in 5 years.
Well, I think the bigger question is, are people still going to be putting up with shenanigans and for that long to let him keep releasing music in 5 years? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure he will, because he's reached that superstar status where he has the money. Even if nobody were to support it, he could produce his own stuff. But I think it's a longer game than, you know, one album. You know, I don't know. It's just like, I think he has to think long term, and I don't think he's doing that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not my place. Believers, don't kill me. Love you. Bye.
So, moving on to someone who basically never causes controversy, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh my God, Queen.
Heartbeat Song is the new single, and I love it. I think it's great. I don't think it's the showstopper of Since You've Been Gone or anything like that. But it's like, I think Pop Justice wrote that it's like an 8 out of 10 Kelly Clarkson single is better than no Kelly Clarkson single at all. And I totally agree. What are you on board with the new single?
I love it. I mean, I 100% agree that it's not going to slay the charts or whatever. It's no Since You've Been Gone. It's no
What Doesn't Kill You Make You Stronger.
Yeah, it's not one of those songs where you're like, holy crap, Kelly Clarkson is back. But it's like, I'm ready for Kelly Clarkson to be back. So I'm fine with her, whatever she's going to put out.
She's good at, you know, the last studio album, okay, correct, since you're Queen.
I call a million people my queen, by the way. Justin Bieber, my queen. Well, Tony Bennett, queen.
Oh, my goodness.
Her last studio album, that's first single was Mr. Know-It-All, right? Or was
a song I am not all about Mr. Know-It-All.
Right, so Mr. Know-It-All was the first single, and then she followed it up, which was with the song that was clearly the much bigger hit, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger. Mr. Know-It-All was definitely the first single from an album. I don't know if there was another album after that, because I think she had put out a Greatest Hits album after
it's
that,
hard.
Right?
Yeah, she did put out a Greatest Hits, but this has been correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the longest period of time between two Kelly Clarkson albums.
Well, she had a baby.
Not counting Greatest Hits. But yeah, she had a baby. Yeah. She took some time off. So I think the world was ready for a new album. Mm. And I think no matter what she were to put out right now, people will still be into it. I don't know if it's going to go number one, especially given the climate of what's in the top 10.
Kooky.
But I think it could go top 10.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go number one. Mm. Which makes me sad because I like Kelly Clarkson.
It'll be interesting because this song was produced by Greg Kurstin, who did What Doesn't Kill You Stronger. And I feel like Greg Kurstin just works so perfectly with her. I think he did a lot of this album. He did a lot of Pink's album,
Sia,
the Tegan
right?
and Sarah yeah. album. And I just think it's a perfect pairing. And no matter how well these singles do, I'm excited for this album. It's called Piece by Piece. It comes out in March. That was announced this week.
Ooh, which day?
I don't know if a day has been announced yet.
I was like,
but
is it going up
March.
Against Madonna?
Will it go up against...
Let's just skip right to Madonna. Because,
okay, well, I'll just lean back now.
No.
Because I have nothing to say about Madonna.
See, the whoa.
And that says it all.
No, then we... Whoa, we're going to have a great discussion today. Bring it, Jason.
Tyler Keith is the biggest Madonna fan you will ever find under any rock and crevice.
Well,
that might be
overstating it. Yeah, I'm probably.
I don't know, man.
I'm like the biggest like sane fan that you'll find probably at like a major like news
okay,
organization.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of crazy people on the internet that claim to be like crazy Madonna fans. But I'm a big Madonna fan. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Jason, back to you.
So. Tyler, have you heard some of these new songs? Are you into, you know, Living for Love or the rest of the
Madonna's
Rebel Heart
new
songs?
Here's the thing about my relationship with Madonna. I just am not really interested.
Tyler has a very serious face.
Wow.
I'm not really interested to even explore new possibilities.
Okay, so...
And the reason is, because I just don't think... I don't find her to be kind. Mm-hmm. And I like to support kind people. And whenever I see anything about her, it just seems like she's trying to shade someone or mm-hmm. trying to like assert how she's the icon or
did it,
things
did
like
it come
that.
From the Lady Gaga stuff?
I think it probably did. But like even regardless, even without the connection or the feud that happened or is happening,
is
I don't know, whatever.
Terrible and
right.
silly and
who
should
cares?
Never happen. Yeah.
I still see that behavior in her. So I'm just like, I'm just not really interested in looking into it.
Okay.
I tried to get into her old stuff when I first was like, you know, exploring music. So back in Michigan, I was like, okay, there's something about Madonna. Let me like go into the back catalog.
I mean, because you went to the University of Michigan.
I went to Michigan State.
Michigan State, sorry.
Yeah. But I dove into what people consider her
classic
Imperial moment, if you will.
Lucky star, like a virgin.
And I just didn't care.
It just didn't move you.
I'm sure she's talented, but not my cup of tea.
It's really
seems like, I gotta say, it does seem like you're directly trolling Keith right now. And I kind of love it. I kind of love it because I can picture steam coming out of his ears, like, no. So hardcore right
no,
now.
No, because his ears are covered with his headphones. It's all staying in.
But Tyler's hair color has changed, though, in the past 5 minutes.
To like fury red.
It's become like a bright
flames
red.
Flames are rising. It's a Clue reference. Tyler got it.
I got it. It took me a second.
Evidently, that line, the flames, they're burnt. That was all improv, evidently.
I believe it.
If we believe Wiki. I mean, it was said somewhere else. Jason, we're talking about the movie Clue, Eileen Brennan. Anyway, it's
Clue's impact on Billboard.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So regarding Madonna and sort of regarding how we view pop stars and their artistry, I think I'm pretty good at sort of separating, like, church and state, like separating their body of work from their personal shenanigans. Some of the time, I think I've just been a fan for Madonna for so long, like, you know, for more than 25 years. Tyler's making faces at me right now.
No faces.
I was just trying to explain, it's incredible to picture in my head.
Like, I really picture you guys like lacing up boxing gloves right
no.
now.
Oh, shut
not
up.
At all, not at all.
No. I get it. I totally get what you're saying.
And she just was never the pop queen for me.
Yeah, no. That's
I think
okay.
I was too late for that.
And I just
in the same way, I never got into Britney Spears. Like,
do you not like Britney at all?
I like Britney. I think she's likable. I think,
you know, it was interesting.
She has things to offer.
She's kind. I didn't care about Britney. She's kind. See, it comes back to being kind, and that's very important, and it makes sense. And I think we all need a little bit more kindness.
Okay, calm down. Back to whatever
world.
You were saying.
No, I'm being serious. But what I was saying regarding Britney was that I didn't really care about her as an entertainer in any sort of way until like 4 albums in. Mm. And then sonically, I became more interested. And I've just always sort of liked Madonna's pop music. And I can separate that fairly well from sort of her personal stuff. It gets harder and harder now in more recent years.
With things on social media.
Yeah, because it's just...
You're seeing sides of people that are coming through, not through a very distinct...
filter.
A publicist filter.
No, I totally agree with you that, and you kind of see that especially with Madonna, who kind of is terrible at social media.
She's terrible at social media.
She
doesn't really understand why it's not cool to
get it.
You know, use Martin Luther King Jr.'s image or Bob Marley's image for like Rebel Heart promo. And like, again, her intentions I'm sure weren't malicious, but it's like I looked at that when, and Keith, we were talking about that when on that day when she started Instagramming like Nelson Mandela as a rebel heart, and I was like, oh man, like what's going on?
Like guffawed and like smacked my forehead and been, I was like, well, I guess if anybody thinks it's okay, I can see that Madonna would.
It's
she lives in a little bubble.
It's frustrating as a fan to see someone. Please don't come at me. As if anyone would, but Madonna fans would. It's frustrating as a fan for so long to sort of see like someone that has been like, you know, Willie was on top of their game for such a long time in so many arenas to sort of like kind of like screw up so effectively.
I get it.
You know? And I just wish, and it's like, take the phone away. Just don't stop putting up bad fan art. It's just...
yeah. And again, none of it is like...
I love her. You all know that.
Intended. It's just... Yeah, it's just little like awkward more than anything.
I think there's a level of... You have to be a good marketer nowadays, personally, yeah. As an artist. Mm-hmm. It's not just up to the marketing team anymore. It's like you have to kind of have an eye and a sense for it. And I like that. I think it makes people more rounded as artists. I love following artists like social media campaigns and like seeing what they do that's completely new. Who was it that just had an incredible launch? Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Let me think for half a second.
Well, Tyler, I mean, it's interesting because you personally put so much content online. You're, like you said, podcasts, YouTube videos, these appearances. Like, do you ever think to yourself, like, wow, I'm putting so much stuff up? And, like, do you ever worry that, like, this little joke might be taken the wrong way? Or, do you, like, are you just completely past that?
I'm conscious, but I'm just, like, I'm also, like, there's always going to be people that want to see or hear something in whatever you're saying and want to hear or see something in a different light than how you mean it.
They're going to misinterpret it.
You'll always be misinterpreted. And I think if you are, you know, conscious of it, hopefully you can evade it. But, you know, I look at, like, Taylor Swift. That's who I was thinking of. Taylor Swift had an incredible launch where she's social media savvy. She's connected to her fans in new ways for this launch that she wasn't before. She's involved. She's personal. And she's kind of become the everyday, like the normal middle America turned pop star, in the sense that she spends her days on Tumblr hanging out with her fans. Like, it's just
sending Christmas gifts to lucky,
like,
winners.
Everything was right about that social media campaign.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody like Madonna.
Yeah.
As if she saw Taylor Swift being social media savvy and thinking, oh, I should do stuff on Instagram too. It takes, like, a certain level of finesse, and I think I like watching how that is unfolding for every pop star, and I think it's going to be a huge, you
know. It's tough to navigate that, and it's amazing what Taylor and her team has accomplished.
Incredible.
It's you know,
unprecedented.
We've said before, like, I mean, Jason and I have both, like, interacted with her on red carpets. I mean, we're not, like, friends with her by any wild stretch of the imagination.
You guys are best friends.
She's what now?
Your best friends,
right? Yeah. But have you talked to Taylor before?
I've interviewed her before.
Yeah.
And she was nice.
Yeah, and she's a friend of Billboard. Like, she comes to a lot of our events, and every interaction we've had has been, like, funny, engaging, real. Like, even in, like, incredibly
it
short amounts of time,
it all boils down to her. She's kind.
She's a kind person.
She's kind.
And if it, and we've said before, if it was fake, if it was all an act, It can't be possible, because she would literally have to be an actress 24 hours a day to, like, put up this. And it's not possible. Jason.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, moving on to another artist that I feel like has generated so much goodwill this year, just even in the last 6 months or so, is 5 Seconds of Summer, who have... I'm a fan of their pop-rock music, but it seems like... These four guys have really connected with this young girl fan base and are taking over. I mean, Tyler, you are a Michael Clifford hair expert as well. No, I'm kidding.
He's
also a big One Direction fan,
by the way.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's talk about these two groups. One Direction, I mean, they're going to be probably putting out a fifth album by the end of the year, just based on the past 4 years. And they're touring stadiums. 5 Seconds of Summer have a huge headlining tour. They might be putting out new music to promote during that headlining tour. I mean, let's start with 5 Seconds of Summer. How huge can these guys get? Like, do you see this trajectory just continuously going upward for these kids?
Well, personally, I like them. I've seen them in concert twice. I think they're talented. I think... they offer something completely different, but in the same vein as One Direction. It's a different experience for sure, but I get why the audiences overlap. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a smooth transition that's going to be made, where I think some One Direction fans are kind of maybe maturing and moving on to a different type of music, but also One Direction's music is maturing. So, yeah. I think both of them are going about it really smart, and kind of, I think their biggest days are ahead of them, both of them. But 5 Seconds of Summer for sure, I think, might reach One Direction status this year. Yeah.
There you have it. There's your prediction. I mean, 5 Seconds will become the new One Direction this year, according
not
to
the new. I don't believe in anybody becoming the new anything. I believe they can happily live together, and I think fans are okay with that. They've always been supportive of each other, and in the sense that I don't believe in, like, anybody's the new Madonna. Madonna will always be Madonna. I think One Direction will always be One Direction in the way that they were never the new NSYNC. They're completely different to me.
I was kind of just, you know, kidding with
and you. I know. I'm clarifying.
But Tyler was very careful.
Important.
He's like, I have to clarify because I'm the public figure here.
It's important to me because I don't want to get skewered, but also that's what I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what you guys were talking about with the kindness point. You just see 5 Seconds of Summer recognizing their younger fan base. They've done just a ton of fan outreach. They have the fan festival a couple months ago in Los Angeles. It just seems like they're so conscious of their younger fans and bringing these people on board. And I mean, it's unbelievable. They had, what was it, Keith? 3 top 5 albums in 2014 alone?
It's 5 Seconds of Summer?
Yeah, 5 Seconds of Summer released 3 albums that all, well, they weren't top 5. They all debuted in the top 20.
Top 10?
They had an EP, a studio Somewhere album, and then a live album. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Live Sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's in terms of One Direction, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, where they go from here.
I think they can pull a Kiss. They can all put out 5 individual solo albums on the same day.
Is that what Kiss did?
Back in the 70s, at the height of like Kiss Mania, each of the 4 members put out their own solo studio album the same week.
What? That's so cool.
So it's like, well, you know, you capture it in a bottle.
I would live if One Direction did that.
And the problem with that, though, is everyone's going to, you know, compete.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, which one's going to do better? It's like, you don't really want that.
And I can easily tell you where they would all rank.
So you.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do that.
No, I'm not doing that.
Well, I think the general vibe would be that Harry's would be probably the
I sort think of... he would have a run for his money. We'll see. Who knows?
Really?
We'll see
with
when
Zane?
They do it. We'll see when they do it.
Mm.
All right. Anyway, let's wrap up with one of the biggest albums yet to come out, the one that everyone's kind of waiting for, Adele's new album, her 3rd album, the follow-up to 21, the follow-up to one of the biggest-selling albums in recent history, an album of the year. I mean... It seems like this album is coming out this year. The producer, Paul Epworth, said it'll come when it's ready, but he's kind of hinted
Which
that
could
it'll
mean anything.
This year. It just seems like, I don't know. I don't know. Tyler, how excited are you for a new Adele album?
My body is ready. It's like...
Queen.
She is an actual queen.
Yeah.
Like, she is Beyonce status. Like, the two of them live in a different realm than most... artists. I think she is gonna have one of the longest careers we'll ever see in like of the pop stars that live today. And the fact that she's only on about to release a 3rd album, like that's insane. I thought we were gonna get it last year. She was hinting toward like this is not the last when it was her birthday, she was hinting like this is not the last we'll see of
25. It's like see you later this year.
Yeah. So I was like, oh great, cool. Something to like you know, pull a Michael Bublé, like when the last album he did or whatever, where it was like, it came out when? December, and it was like the highest selling album of the year or something.
Like a Josh Groban, you mean?
No, wasn't it Michael Bublé?
Oh, his Christmas album?
His Christmas album. Wasn't it like one of the top albums, but it came out at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready for that with Adele. I was like, she's going to like show everybody up like at the last minute. And then she didn't.
I'm waiting for like, you know, Adele to be like, you know, like the surprise performer at the Grammy Awards, like the show.
Oh,
opens.
But I don't want that. She's bigger than that.
She's
she doesn't need any awards show.
I'm just saying, like, Jason and I think of like how can they roll out the album? Like what, like how would you announce it? Are you just gonna
Beyonce
it? Are you gonna no one will ever be able to Beyonce anything again because Beyonce did it the one and only time that you're able
it's
to
true.
Do it. So no, I'm super looking forward to Adele's album. Obviously it will be a huge success.
I think if anybody can Beyonce, it could be Adele.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
But, it'll be interesting because you see the last two huge rollouts were complete polar opposites, Taylor Swift and Beyonce. Beyonce, you know, is it coming, is it not coming? And then it just arrived. And then Taylor Swift, everything was so meticulous and pre-planned. So
kinda like
it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see when the Adele machine starts rumbling again, like which direction it'll go. So
and she's also
I hope it's this year.
She's also doing the correct sort of social messaging, PR, all that stuff. She's doing it very correct because she's given about 1% of her life to the public and everything else is a mystery and lets the music speak for itself. And wonderfully, the music can speak for itself. She doesn't need to prop it up with anything else because the music is so powerful.
And the glimpses that I feel like I've gotten of Adele have been incredibly charming. Like her on Chelsea Handler. It's such a like fun, glimpse into who she is as a human. Everyone left that interview watching to just or wanting to just be friends with her.
I'm like, I want to be friends. I want to hang out with you.
Right. And then when she did that that special that was
the one with Matt Lauer, the
It was a concert special.
The one in London.
Yeah. In like the just hearing her talk in between each song and like tell the stories and just kind of like hang out with all those people, but like make it feel the most intimate concert. It's like, wow, I want so much more of her, but I am so happy I get nothing from her. You know what I mean? Like it's the weirdest, like
such a weird relationship we have with Adele.
I love Adele though. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Find one person who doesn't like Adele.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's that's a great way to put it, that you want more, but you're glad that she doesn't give it to you because it's almost like you don't want to, you know.
I don't want anything to be ruined.
Pull back the curtain. Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen what happens when you pull back the curtain, and that's called artists getting the password to their own Twitter accounts. It's like, I don't know if
Instagram.
I want that. Or Instagrams or whatever. It's like, maybe I don't want that. Whereas before, when it was first starting, we're like, yes, every artist, now we can like tweet with them. Maybe we don't want that.
Katy Perry said something about that was really like someone asked her, like, how do you deal with social media? And she's like, look, you know, I use it every so often. Like, I don't use it as much as other people do. And oftentimes I will have someone like take the phone away from me, be like, nope, not doing that. Nope. Just, you know, just sort of better police how she interacts with people, because, you know, I mean, let's leave some of the illusion. It's like, it's a mystery. Like, you're an entertainer. You don't need to give everything necessarily, but some artists want to give more. And Adele isn't one of those people, and that's good.
God bless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, can't wait for those. So let's move on to some of the most promising newcomers really quickly of 2015. These are some of the artists that, you know, you might know, you might not know, but we're betting big on them in 2015. So Keith, you wanted to talk about Fifth Harmony. And first of all, before you started talking about Fifth Harmony, man, I'm so happy. Keith sent me an email like 2 weeks ago. I've been championing their new single Sledgehammer for like months.
Incredible.
It's incredible. And Keith, like, very rarely does this, but he sent me an email a couple weeks ago, and he was like, yeah, I really like that Sledgehammer song. And I was like, yes, yeah. I was damn pumped, man. Like, I was like, man, Keith is on board with the Sledgehammer movement. So, Keith, let's talk about Fifth Harmony. I finally came around,
so I've joined your harmonizers. Like,
well, I've been a fan of Fifth Harmony since they were Lilas on, you know, what is that? The X Factor.
Was that their old name on the X Factor?
Yeah, they
show?
Went through a couple name changes. Oh, wow. And I thought they were so talented from the start, even before they did the Anything Could Happen performance where everyone became a harmonizer. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. Stop. They're all wearing, like, huge oversized bows. They're doing Anything Could Happen. It's so good. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But that was like their biggest moment on the show, I think. And then after the show, I've been waiting for something to be the hit. Like, Miss Moving On was great. But it just didn't perform like I wanted it to. And so to see Sledgehammer take off, I'm like, okay, good. They're getting recognition where I believe it's due.
Yeah.
No, it's been a while. It's been a long process for them.
I was just going to echo basically what Tyler said, and I didn't watch The X Factor. I was not completely oblivious. I knew I knew that they existed in the ether. And the funny thing was, I knew more about them from having to research them for red carpet interviews. Because like, I interviewed them probably have no less than like 5 times on 5 different carpets, like Radio Disney Awards.
Right. They're
like,
everywhere.
And like, I'd have to like ask them like, how's the album coming? And then, you know, all 5 of them talk at the same time. It's great. And, you know, one time I said something wrong, and Camila.
Sure, yeah.
No, tell me how to say it right.
I believe it's
she has
Camilla.
It on her Twitter, and
I say the Twitter is spelled out phonetically.
Yes,
I believe.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So anyway, she pointed at me. She's like, bad fan. Like, like, I didn't know something. I'm like, dude,
she's just messing with me.
No, I know. It was funny. And I've always found them so funny and so engaging and like so
they're likable.
And they're super likable, and their voices are great. And I just
the
wanted
most importantly kind.
They are. Back to the kindness. I want to say, Tyler, Jason and I are both very kind people, by the way.
No, I know that.
We try.
Question our taste
I know,
in pop
I,
music.
I hope that this this podcast, you've been like, you'll walk away from it and like, oh, those are kind guys.
I think that's the biggest compliment you can give somebody. Yeah. But no, Fifth Harmony.
I totally agree.
I was waiting for this. I was waiting for the hit, and this is the hit. And it to me, it sounds like the Saturdays' first album. If any of you know who the Saturdays are, it's a girl group from the UK.
Saturdays' first album.
Their first album is great, Jason. I'll
check it out. But then again, I trust your judgment.
And it's a great album. If you liked Girls Aloud at all, then you will love the Saturdays' first album. And the other people have compared this song to the Saturdays, and it was also co-written by Meghan Trainor. So that's kind of fun too. Anyway.
And did you know Sledgehammer was written by Michael Keaton's son?
Yeah, I did see that.
Co-written by Michael Keaton's son, Sean Douglas, who I spoke to earlier this week.
Who also wrote, like, Wiggle?
Wiggle for
Jason Derulo.
He also
write Wiggle, yeah. Wow. And Talk Dirty.
Was he the guy was he at the Golden Globes?
Yes, he was.
Oh, he was, yeah.
He had a moment there.
I talked to him the day after the Golden Globes, and also like the nicest guy ever. And in our office, we have referred to him as Hot Keaton because
he's good looking.
He's a good looking dude.
Is he on Twitter? I'll look into that.
He's good looking.
he is. Anyway.
well, I just one last thing about Fifth Harmony.
I'll send you Michael Keaton's son Twitter handle. Yeah. So Fifth Harmony, we expect big things. Their album Reflection is out January 27th. Another, young
Jason.
Performer.
No, it's fine.
No. Wait.
I was going to say, I was just at a game night with Allie from Fifth Harmony this week. I was like, listen, when is the album coming out?
This month.
Yeah. Well, there were pushbacks.
Right. Yeah.
There's been pushbacks.
Many
but I think
pushbacks,
it's actually going to be
it's
happening
really coming out
when it's happening.
This month. Yeah.
So, yeah. And what I've heard is great.
That game night that you posted a picture of where it was like you, Betty Who, and like 17 million other people. And that was dinner that you had Betty Who.
Oh, Betty Who was dinner. No, Betty was not at game night, no.
Wow.
Pentatonix were there.
At game night?
Yeah. Well, not all of them.
They seem very nice, too.
Very kind.
They seem like very nice people.
Good guys.
Yeah.
And girl.
Good dudes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a girl in there.
No, speaking of Betty Who, though.
Speaking of Betty Who, another artist, her album Take Me When You Go is a favorite of Billboard's and... Yeah, I mean, I you know, she's a good friend of both of ours, Tyler, and I can't wait to see what happens for her in 2015, maybe some new music. She just dropped the music video for All of You. And, I'd love to see, like, she opened for Katy Perry overseas. I'd love to see, like, a really expansive tour from her this year. Hopefully we'll get that in 2015.
Yes.
Correct.
Indeed.
We concur.
Let's talk really quickly about Shawn Mendes. Shawn Mendes of Vine.
He's got something big.
Something big. I love that song. It's
so good.
Something
big. He's got a Taylor Swift tour coming up. He's opening for her in North America. There's so much interest around this dude. I was at Jingle Ball a month ago, and he legit had, except for 5 Seconds of Summer, the loudest screams at Jingle Ball. Like,
I believe
louder
it.
Than Taylor Swift or Iggy Azalea. It was nuts.
He's up there with all those Vine stars because, I mean, it's one of those, and it's the weirdest thing because before when we were talking about how we didn't want that closeness of social media for certain stars, if they come from social media, you can't abandon that.
Right.
And he hasn't. And I think there's been that level of connection from the first Vine where he's singing to right now where he's opening for Taylor Swift. And that's why people like him.
Yeah. No, I think people are expecting big things from this kid. He's just a teenager, but he's so talented. He's been on the podcast. He's such a smart guy.
He's sweet.
And yeah.
He has good skin,
he's just,
too.
It's... eerie.
That's one of the reasons he's blowing up this year is because of his skin.
Like, he's a teenager with really good skin.
He
that's
is
impossible.
Ready for a what is that?
Proactive.
He's ready for a proactive commercial.
He is ready for
because he looks like an after.
He looks like an after. he's the
he
after.
He looks incredible.
Yeah. He's the end result Adam Levine shot. You know. No. Anyway.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Thanks.
That is. That's a good. I never really analyzed Shawn Mendes' skin before.
Is this kind of like last week when I was talking about like Nick Jonas and Justin Bieber's like Calvin Klein shots, and you're just like,
Calvin
all right,
Klein
let it go,
has.
Go for it, Keith.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, moving on
a little bit. That's fine.
Yep.
So now we're gonna move on. we got to do. We only have time for one more promising newcomer.
One more
Keith,
man.
You want to talk about. MNEK. Let's talk about MNEK, UK artist and producer. Go for it. I'll let you wave the MNEK flag.
Oh, okay. So, well, he's managed by Modest Management, the same folks that managed One Direction and 5 Seconds of Summer, which we talked about earlier. He garnered a Grammy Award nomination a year ago for Best Dance Recording.
Wow.
For his featured turn on Duke DeMont's Need You 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. And I talked to him on the red carpet at the Grammy Awards last year, and I was like, you follow me on Twitter. He's like, hey! And he like, can you like remember who I was? And I'm like, yeah, I'm that dude. And now we follow
each other.
I'm that dude.
You read the charts?
No,
that dude.
Well, you know, you have to, anyway, whatever. He's also charted 4 tracks on the Billboard Twitter Emerging Artist chart, including his new single, The Rhythm. It's a great song. It's on SoundCloud. I think it might be available for pre-order in the UK, but you can definitely listen to it for free on SoundCloud. It's a great track. You should definitely check it out. This could be a big breakout year for him, especially considering the folks that are help managing his career have done so well with people like, you know, Fysauce in One Direction and Cheryl Cole and so many others. Not Cheryl Cole anymore, but Cheryl. Get it right, Keith. Tyler's
I got,
at
no,
me.
I'm like, get it. Yeah, you got it.
We got it.
Yeah. So there you go.
Now, Tyler, do you have an artist that we didn't mention as someone that you think people should be tipped off to in 2015?
Well, there's a few people that I'm keeping my eyes on. Obviously, Troye Sivan. I think he's going to be huge.
Can you tell us about Troye's album, by the way?
I can tell you nothing.
Nothing at all.
I
tried. I tried so hard to get Troye to do something with Billboard, and his schedule was as such where he was just like, it's like his people were saying like he was here for like a flash second last year to like work on the album, and just
he's been
time.
Writing nonstop all over the world, so it's like I 100% believe that, and he would do something with Billboard. He loves Billboard.
Oh, I'm sure he would. Yeah. He couldn't at that point
.
Because he was just like super busy. But I'm super looking forward to, because that his EP was great, and mm-hmm. it's very emotional and affecting, and he seems like a nice guy.
He's got a really built-in fan base, obviously. And
yeah,
I think yeah, and he's kind. Who else am I looking forward to? LEX.
Hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a minute. I was actually thinking of LEX because
have you heard Prime?
She's incredibly. Yeah. I mean, she's incredibly genuine and she's so ambitious. She just,
I know nothing like, about her personality. I've seen what I've seen and I've kind of heard some things, but I'm mystified by it in the same way that I was mystified at the beginning of Lady Gaga, where I'm like, what's going on there?
Yeah, it's. I mean, she's someone who doesn't, she told me that she doesn't necessarily want to put out an album. She wants to do like just singles at first. And
interesting.
It's just like, I'm wondering where she's going to go from those first few singles and those really interesting music videos for them. It's just, she's someone that's a little bit confounding, but in a good way. And I'm hoping she puts out some new stuff in 2015. It's been a couple months since we heard anything. So we shall see. Well, cool. So let's wrap up. Let's each do one personal wish for 2015 in terms of music. What?
How tender.
What do you? I know. Let's gather around. Let's
hold hands.
Talk about
kumbaya.
Hold hands.
Let's do trust falls together.
A personal wish for music, or just in 2015
in
general.
Personal wish for music. Maybe not even an album that comes out, but like, what's something, Tyler? What's something you hope to see in music in 2015?
I mean, if I were to make one wish and it were to come true, it would be an incredible new Gaga album. That's all I want. But here's the thing. If a new Gaga album were to come out tomorrow, I would still wish for another. Yeah. Like, I'm never...
You're insatiable for
I'm
Gaga.
I'm insatiable for Gaga, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to have to be what I would want.
Have you met Gaga, by the way?
Yeah, and I cried.
No.
This was in 2009. And I got a meet and greet pass. Perez Hilton gave it to me. And this
a is very what, kind person.
This is when they were like buddies.
Best buddies, yeah.
And
I think they've had a falling out since then.
He gave me a backstage pass and I met her and she was wearing like a pillowcase and I cried. I was like, it was a moment for me. Anyway, so yeah, a Gaga album.
Oh.
I would love to do. I want to make a video.
I just like that sentence. She was wearing a pillowcase and I cried.
I mean, that's like every the, Gaga that's interaction.
Like what that's artist
like,
made...
That's like the start of a perfect novel.
Yeah, no, that's a tweet. Like, what artist was dressed in a pillowcase and made Tyler Oakley cry? Click here to find out.
Find out in this week's podcast.
Find out. Clickbait.
Keith, what do you hope for in 2015? I have a feeling it's Madonna.
Madonna, now I just feel awkward even talking about her.
No, go ahead.
Do you identify as a rebel heart? If you can't even get behind the campaign, how can the rest of the world?
Well, look.
Silence.
We're teasing, Keith. Come on. Personal wish can be for an amazing Madonna album.
No, of course I wish for an amazing Madonna album. I mean, I wish for an amazing Madonna album each time she puts out an album because I want it to be amazing, because I love it when artists who are, you know, icons for, you know, whatever reason, continue to make material that is compelling and interesting and challenges people. You know, and truthfully, you know, Madonna has done so many things that have changed how pop music operates, you know, since she started, you know, in the early 80s. And I love that about, you know, Springsteen and Streisand and Dylan and the Stones and AC/DC. I just love it. Like, these artists who are so iconic continue to make music that interests people, that can still go on stage and do a great show, and people are still buying their records and supporting them. So I love that thing. I love it when, like, a heritage, quote-unquote, artist or a veteran artist can come back and, like, be brilliant, you know? So, yes.
Is that your dream for 2015, then?
I don't have a specific dream for 2015. Jason always asks me these questions.
Come
about,
on.
I know I don't. Like, you know, what's your favorite this, what's your that? I'm like, I never have one, you know? Funny, I work in charts, and I talk about...
You can't be definitive.
No, I'm not really super definitive. Hmm. So, yeah. Sorry, Jason.
Wait, Jason, what's your dream? What's your dream?
Yeah, what's your dream for 2015?
All right, my dream... I have a lot of stuff that I'm looking forward to this year. It seems like a lot of my favorite artists are coming back in 2015, and one that just announced her new album last night is Bjork, and I'm hoping for an incredible Bjork album. She is a little left to center, but one of my favorite artists. She's been working with Arca and Hacks and Cloak on this new album. Her last album, Biophilia, was a little bit of a letdown. It had some tremendous songs, but it was a little uneven. I'm hoping Bjork brings that hot fire this time. I just feel like she comes correct in 2015.
I love it when you like throw like hot fire, come correct with Bjork. Like,
wait, can I take back my dream? I think I want,
of course,
because I think Gaga will release something, so I'm not going to waste my dream on that.
Right.
I want another three-part Robin release, like Body Talk.
Well, she has a new album coming.
She's
so.
Right, but like what she just
does have something
was
close,
not
yeah.
for me. Like, what was that?
With the Rooksop.
Yeah, Rooksop.
It didn't deliver the same impact for me as Body Talk, and I'm like, I need what she did with that to be another thing.
You want
to
hear her body talk?
I do.
Her
I
body
do.
Talk.
Because that's
in three
that,
parts.
That doesn't
I,
seem
that's
like something
great,
that
that's
might
a great
happen.
Wish. I
Gaga
agree.
Is definitely going to happen
right.
eventually. But I don't know if Robin will ever do that again. And I'm like, that's if I could make a dream, maybe I would have that.
Ooh, what about the Sugar Babes MKS?
Calm down.
We should, hey.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Do you not like the...
I know nothing about. Introduce me.
Sugar Babes. Former Sugar Babes, the original, the
I
OG,
don't know him.
Her.
I'm kidding.
The
disappointment.
Be kind, Tyler.
I am being kind. The disappointment in Keith's eyes when I'm lying to him about not knowing.
Anyway, Jason, I don't have any more dreams.
Well, we gotta wrap this up, unfortunately. Keith, let's do it, man. Your chart stat of the week.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, so, Jason, are the mirrors on your ceiling in place?
They are.
Okay.
Of course.
Tyler, do you have some pink champagne on ice?
Daddy does.
Okay. If so, then all of you are ready for the chart stat of the week, because 38 years ago this week, the Eagles' landmark album Hotel California topped the Billboard 200 chart, becoming the rock band's third of so far six number one albums. The set, which contains such hit singles as the title track, New Kid in Town, and Life in the Fast Lane, jumped from number 2 to number 1 in its fourth week on the chart, dated January 15th, 1977. The album spent 8 non-consecutive weeks atop the list and is the group's best-selling studio album with 16 million copies sold.
Dang.
I know, right? In the U.S., according
million.
To the RIAA. But I'm not done yet. The band followed up Hotel California with 1979's number one effort, The Long Run. However, it would mark their final collection of new songs for over a decade as tensions in the band boiled over and they effectively went on hiatus until 1994. That year, the band reunited for a concert special that resulted in the chart-topping album Hell Freezes Over because, you know, hell froze over and they got back together. Since then, the band, of course, has continued to tour quite lucratively and make new music, and the band will actually be touring Australia and New Zealand in February and March. So there you go. This week in 1977, the Eagles' Hotel California hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart.
There's a new Eagles documentary that I've been really wanting to check out. The name of it escapes me, but I've heard it's excellent.
So yeah, it's supposed to be a tell-all in the best possible way.
Well, there you go, man. Keith, thank you for your Chart Stat of the Week. All right, that is going to do it for us at the Pop Shop Podcast. Tyler Oakley, man, did you have fun? This is your first Pop Shop Podcast
This
appearance.
Was so fun. I never get to do fun little things like this. So, yeah, thank you for having me. If you ever want me back, hit me up.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will. Yeah, man, this has been great, and we appreciate it. Keith, do you have any parting words?
I don't.
We're gonna go out on one of Tyler's picks. This is Robin. Let's do Hang With Me from Body Talk Part 2, I believe. Thanks for listening and take care.